So it's a pleasure to welcome our hockey coach, Tom Anastas. Tom, it's we were talking about the role of sport and how it's really important to develop young people. And I know that you're passionate about the game, but you're really an educator at heart. And how does that philosophy sort of play out for you as you think about the off season?
Well, in so many different ways. I know myself, I always talk about my locker room MBA, because you learn so many lessons playing in sports, and especially team sports. Oftentimes, I know during my professional career, having the opportunity to work with and hire people, you look for certain attributes that are fostered in a sports environment, whether it's leadership, whether it's teamwork, whether it's kind of putting others before your own interests, work ethic, managing time. All of those things are things we talk about with our prospects and with our players repeatedly. And it's interesting, in our recruiting, we recruit so young today. You're sitting there with parents. It's important to them that they're kind of passing their kids on to an environment that goes beyond sport.
It's really become a trend in many sports where, I'm going to use the word unfortunately, we have to start the conversations at a younger and younger age. You almost want to hand the recruit some cotton candy while you're talking to them about coming to a campus, not just Michigan State, but it's the norm that's out there. And talk about how challenging that is a little bit on the you've maybe had it a little bit more than some of the other sports, but others I think now are coming to you of how have you handled this?
Well, it's very difficult. I wish it wasn't what it was. I think it started in our particular sport because of the competition we have with Canadian Major Junior Hockey.
Which is unique. Very NCAA sport, that's a unique situation.
It really is. Kids are forced, and that's how this all started. Kids are forced to make a decision on an NCAA educational path to compete in the sport or the Canadian Hockey League path when they're essentially 15, 16 years old. So our sport started down that road several years ago to deal with that, but now it's crept beyond that. And to give you an example, I had a call yesterday from an advisor who has a 2001 birth year goaltender who's excellent, but they're a 2001 birth year. And that's three goalies from now for us. And it has really created a challenging dynamic, not in just projecting talent, much like you do with a pro organization when you're drafting players, but also waiting till they're ready. So the irony in our sport, as crazy as this is the average entry-level age of a kid now is over 20 years old, and yet we're recruiting them younger. So we're recruiting them younger, they're committing younger. We have to continue to recruit till they finally get here, which is inching closer to 21 years old.
I noticed I had the NHL draft on for a bit. And there was one player drafted out of the junior program that was committed to go to East Coast University for a couple of years, probably, in order to fine tune their skills, because the team was reputedly didn't have an immediate space for him, and he was a high draft choice, so he would have had a guaranteed contract, but was almost if college was a parking place for that development, and in order to avoid, keep a high draft choice, avoid the contract, the salary when they went with that, and at the same time recognize that he was probably a one and done, maybe a two and done at the most as a hockey player. Is that also a new phenomenon?
You know, it is something. It's emerged and it's changed a little bit over the years. Prior to the NHL enacting an entry-level salary cap or their overall salary cap, kids who came into college were affordable draft picks for NHL clubs because they didn't have to get them under contract early. They could allow them to sit in college for 4 years, develop their maturity both physically and socially, and then bring them out when they felt they were ready, oftentimes after their fourth year. Well, over a period of time, we don't have the issue of probably one-and-done mentality like you do in basketball, because it's very difficult for an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old to step into the NHL and play. There's not many who do. And yet, the entry-level salary cap is so tight that it's really a nominal investment that an NHL club has to make in a player if they choose to sign him. So we've actually, as a result of probably the 2005 CBA, we're seeing more kids leave school early as a result of that.
A couple off-the-ice things that I'd like to walk through is one, scheduling. And you look at the Big Ten Conference, which was a dramatic shift, I think, for all six members. Penn State sort of forced the hand by starting a hockey program. There was a national changeup. You now have six Big Ten institutions that are competing, adding Notre Dame to that. Talk about the dynamics a little bit of what that Big Ten transition, the impact that that had on maybe the six schools, but also the addition of Notre Dame to the schedule.
Well, the six schools previously, being divided amongst leagues, didn't beat each other up, essentially, and made an impact in the respective leagues they were in, and more teams therefore got into the NCAA tournament. So, you know, in theory, when you have the structure that we have, once you get into conference play, your conference is essentially going to be 500, as is most conferences. So it really makes a greater emphasis on your non-conference scheduling. And so when we all got into it, the landscape was changing so dramatically. There were some leagues even discussing the idea of not scheduling certain schools or certain leagues, affiliating in non-conference schedule. So we had to get out front of that and put a schedule in place. Since the dust has settled, we are now in a better place to kind of look at the scheduling landscape. Probably, I don't want to say more strategically, because we were strategic at that time, but strategic in a different way. And I think as a conference, we can look at things a little bit differently as we move forward. Now, Notre Dame will reduce the number of non-conference games that we'll have to schedule, which will be positive. And I think it brings some geography that fits, which makes sense too, from a travel perspective. So I think that's a real good addition to the hockey conference. And, you know, we're looking to try to continue to have a national flavor to our hockey schedule, and yet play, you know, competitive teams from each of the conferences to try to enhance our RPI to the best we can.
Pairwise is a formula that's used. It's similar to an RPI, but it pretty much determines who's in the NCAA tournament. Does the pairwise provide the opportunity for teams playing in the Big Ten Conference in that competitive environment to be able to have success in the NCAA selection process?
Well, I think it puts a lot of emphasis on your success in non-conference play. And I think that has caused pause to kind of look at things, because if you look at some of the traditional schools ourselves, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, generally speaking, along with, say, Boston College, maybe BU, we've been generally younger teams over the history of our game in the last 30 years. And the game or teams generally have gotten a lot older. And so now we've really backloaded our schedule to conference play. And yet there's such a huge emphasis on that non-conference to build that pairwise. And so we have to look at our schedule a little differently. If our teams are going to be a little bit younger, maybe we need to spread that out a little bit, because as your teams are trying to grow together during the early portions of the years, season, and you're playing older teams, you're probably at a disadvantage as your team is trying to mature. So that's really caught our attention here. We've got to take a different approach to it, both in our recruiting and putting our teams together in our preparation for the early season games. We're also going to explore with other leagues the idea of some scheduling relationships. So other leagues who may have an odd number like we do. So now that we have an odd number, when Notre Dame enters the league, that means every school will have a bye, you know, at least one week at a time. So that's something that has to be addressed as well. But I think the scheduling approach has certainly changed over the past few years.
The passing of Ron Mason, you've made comments, you played for Coach, you coached with Coach, and have had a long relationship. Obviously came as a shock to all of us. Reflect a little bit on Coach Mace.
Very shocking. To this day, I received an email from an alumnus yesterday who hardly played but was impacted by Coach Mason. But everybody, you know, continues to be shocked because it just kind of came out of the blue. Last we saw him, he was bouncing around the arena, you know, with the normal level of energy he always has. But, you know, it was interesting at the funeral service. I thought there was a great turnout of former players, and I think he impacted a lot of people in the sport. He obviously inspired a lot of coaches who are in the game, like myself, but impacted a lot of players over a lot of years. I saw players from his early Bowling Green years that I know. I don't know if there was anybody here from when he coached at Lake Superior. I didn't recognize any of those folks, but and I thought that the tribute that took place on our campus and the job the staff did in preparing for that in very short order was very appropriate. And the way I saw it is if he were walking out of there, he would have felt real good about it.
Now, I think it's the shock is I think, for all of us, if you were to pick a 75-year-old in the scheme of things, in terms of activity level, mental acuity, you know, planning ahead for life, you know, and any variable you would use, Ron would be in the top 1% of America, you would feel, in all of those factors. So it's a lesson for all of us that that these surprises do happen, but they also provide an opportunity to reflect and recognize greatness in many, many forms.
He sure did enjoy life. He was every day was complete.
He did. he did for sure, and I think he probably went the way he would have picked out to go. But you know, everybody was very shocked by the sudden news of it, and I think that's a great point that you make. And I look at Pat Summitt, who passed away at 64, and yet she's been having health issues, and I didn't know Coach Summitt, but at the same time, people knew that was kind of coming, so you could kind of prepare for it. Yet in this case, I think that was very shocking to everybody.
But I do agree with you. If there were a list that Ron could have picked he may not have picked the location,
right?
But he would have picked the method, and that should be a comfort to all of us as well.
Let's talk about the future. This offseason, preparing for next year, as we go into the next campaign, what's happening this summer? Who's coming in? What type of talent do you see becoming Spartan hockey players?
We have a large group coming in, actually larger than we were hopeful for back 5 years ago. And my first year, I lost 11 players, and we tried to put this plan together between transfers and such to try to reduce that number. But given time, early exits to the pros, injuries, red shirts, we're back to a number of 10. Not all are scholarship athletes, but it's a very good class academically. It's without a doubt our most talented group. Our skill level has come up significantly, which is really positive. We're going to be inexperienced, you know, particularly early, as these players are going to be plugged into some important roles, but they'll gain experience, very good work ethic, very good character, a lot of leadership. Although it's a young group, I think we've had a number of guys who were captains of their teams, some of which were captains of international teams that they played on. And so we're excited about that. But I'm really excited about the character and talent and skill level of what we have. The hockey IQ is very strong pretty much across the board, and goal scoring. We have some goal scoring that we haven't had here in a little while, and we need that desperately. So it will take some guys some time to adjust to this level of hockey, but we have some guys who were top 10 scorers in their leagues where they came out of, and we expect they'll do the same here.
You have leaders in Kelly Miller and Tom Newton on the coaching staff, but when you look at the team, when you look at the individuals that are on the ice, who will be your leaders out on the rink, those that are returning?
Well, Joe Cox is really he'll be our captain returning, and he really sets a high leadership standard. We've been very comfortable with him. We knew when he came here he had that potential. Michael Ferrantino, I thought, was an excellent leader as well, and they worked very closely together, really preparing Joe for where he will be now. So he'll be a main guy, and I think that we're going to be watching a couple guys in particular over the course of the next 4 months to see how they adapt to a different role now that they're gaining experience. And we had a Mason Appleton last year, was an excellent freshman. I expect he'll take a huge step in his game. Even as a freshman, he showed a ton of leadership. He pushed guys hard as a freshman, which isn't all that common. Mm-hmm. And he's a real student of the game as well. So I think he has the potential to really impact a lot of guys around him. And I know one player in particular who chose to come to school. One of the reasons he chose is that I have an opportunity to play with him.
What about goaltending?
Goaltending, we're having big change, obviously. Jake Hildebrand has been the steady force in there for 4 seasons, and Ed Minney, who hasn't had a lot of opportunity to play, played for the U.S. national team, has really progressed. We really like how he progressed last year, but frankly, we got him a little experience, but I couldn't justify not playing your best player every night we could. He's having a productive off season so far, as I understand it. He's a big guy, so he'll have a much different style than we're used to seeing in an athletic type Jake Hildebrand. He's a big 6'5", 215-pound guy. And then we have another guy who's going to come in and really push him, John Letheman. He's got a great history of being on winning teams, and in many cases he played on weaker teams, and he really carried the mail. He won a state championship several years ago. Tom Newton's brother, Bill Newton, was the coach of the high school team he played for in Michigan, and had great success and went on to junior hockey, had great success again. Big guy, kind of the prototypical goalie you see in the NHL today at 6'2", 6'3". So I think we'll be good in goal. We'll be inexperienced to start the season, but we're very confident that that will be a position of strength for us. You know, one of the challenges we had last year is due to an injury and early departure, our defense was kind of handcuffed all season long. We didn't have numbers, didn't have strength in numbers, didn't have depth and experience. This year, we won't have tons of experience, but we'll have depth. And a little different dynamic that we've been waiting for. We've got some guys who can really skate back there, some guys who have the potential to add to the offensive productivity. We do go to North Dakota, who's the defending national champs. So that'll be an environment that I think will be a tournament-type environment for our team to see a crowd of 12,000 people against a very skilled, very talented team who can play very physical, especially at home. So I think that will be a good opportunity. And we'll also play Denver at home, who's got a very talented, very skilled team. So the preseason, or I should call it non-conference season schedule, will be something the fans will really enjoy and will be a great test for our team.
Yeah, facilities are a little bit upgrades and got a little bit more work to do.
We do. The upgrades to date have been outstanding, actually. That's got to be a priority of mine in the summer here, is get out and help the fundraising efforts to get that next step. But I will tell you, one prospect in particular who is a very high-profile prospect that's joining our team this upcoming year, was here. He played for the national team, was here the previous year, and the facility changes that were made, from the glass and boards to the lights to the seating to the electronics and video boards, made a huge impact on him. And that's what we're competing against today. So we've got to continue to work on it, but I think our building, especially considering it's a 40-year-old building, is showing very well. But I will tell you, having traveled to Greece and Italy and seeing some of their their properties that have been there for centuries and centuries. Our building looks pretty darn good for only 40 years old.
It's one of the great rinks to watch a game, and I think there's really always ways to improve, especially some of the things we want to do for student athletes. But one of the great rinks and one of the great environments in history of the college game.
Without a doubt, one of the things we do with prospects is we take them right down the ice level, and it's neat because the fans sit right on top of you. It's a nice sized building, and yet it's got that cozy feeling when you're a player because the fans are right there. They feel like it's a part of it. So, we have a great home. We get great response from the people who come to our building, and I think the upgrades have been terrific.
Well, it's been great to have you here. We're looking forward to another exciting season. Thank you for all that you do, not just for hockey, but for our athletic department, our campus, and community. It's good to have all your kids running around here all the time, and they're always a bright smile to encounter. So thanks for being part of Team MSU.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.